Discovering the gratitude, a blessing for all today. It says, you never know what you might see, Jesus. And on this particular stroll along the border of Samaria and Galilee, what was probably the Mason-Dixon line of the first century, we see one of those unsuspected scenes that characterizes Jesus' life for us. A band or a group of 10 lepers, outcasts from society, they call out to Jesus from a distance because, you know, they can't get that close because their disease will spread. They live on the outskirts. They live on the margins. They are people that are untouchable. They're unclean. They're the ones that are on the border. And they cry out to Jesus, and they ask him to, Lord, have mercy on us. And in verse 14, Jesus calls back to them, and he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they set off to do what Jesus had told them. And on the way, as they were walking, they noticed that they were healed. You see, that's amazing enough as it is. But in the next scene, that makes the story so very memorable. One person of the 10, one came back to say thanks. One former leper returns to praise God for being given the great gift of his life back. He was given his life back because he was no longer someone on the outside. You see, he was required to stand at the margins, announcing to anyone who would come near to him that he was both physically and spiritually unclean. He can now return to his family. He can now return to the comfort of human touch. He can now return to the warmth of life in the community. He can now go back to work and care for his family and himself. He is made whole. And he is so overcome with gratitude that he runs and he throws himself at the feet of Jesus. How could he do anything else? How could not the other ones do the same? Jesus, meanwhile, is taken aback, not by the man's dramatic show of thanks, but by the fact that just one of them returns. I tell my pastor friends and myself from time to time, you know, we shouldn't feel so bad that folks don't show up on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or any time, because you can have 71 here one Sunday and 50 the next. You can have 80 here one Sunday and 60 the next. There's always a margin here of 25 to 30 people who usually sit in a pew that is somewhere else. And you never know which ones it's going to be. It's not always the same ones. And Jesus, the same thing happened to him. He literally healed these 10 lepers. And one came back and thanked him. You see, we, along with Jesus, are left wondering as well. Where are the other nine? Why is there only one who really understands what has just happened to him? It is a mystery. How could people who have suffered so much receive such an amazing gift, the gift of their life restored, not to at least to say thank you? Surely there's a reasonable explanation somewhere. The other nine were just like this guy. They had to stand at the gates on them. They couldn't come into town. They had to yell out at everyone and let them know who they were, that they couldn't touch them. They couldn't come to them because they were physically and spiritually unclean. They were in the same boat as him. While it's possible that this is the display of extraordinary ingratitude today, the kind that throws a gift back in the face of the giver, it motivated by nothing but disdain, there seems to be pretty unlikely. Today, rather, it seems to me far from plausible today that this was a case of pure neglect. Pure, I don't care. Pure selfishness. Perhaps these now cleansed lepers are celebrating with their friends and family. Maybe they're overjoyed by the return to the ones that they love. In the midst of all the excitement, perhaps they forgot Jesus, the one who had given them their lives back. How do you forget someone that has given you your life back? You see, while this story shocks us, if we are at all honest with ourselves, we know that all too often, we, you and I, find ourselves living amongst the 90% who fail to say thank you. Each and every day, we have so many blessings that are abounded upon us. And do we say thank you, Lord? Thank you. Do we understand why? Not always. But do we say thank you? Or are we too busy with our stuff to forget to come back and say thank you? We too are so easily caught up in our own enjoyment of the gifts of God that we forget where they come from many times. Oh, that the words of the doxology would become our very heartbeat. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him for everything. Praise Him from whom all blessings flow. We sing it every Sunday. We sing it when the offering is brought back to place on God's altar. Is that the only thing we're thankful for? I would hope not today. But the truth of the matter is, we are better at singing those words than we are at living those words. So what about the grateful one who gets it? How is it that he responds when the others do not? We can only speculate, but it seems fair to say that somehow this person is moved with gratitude because he sees the situation rightly. He sees the magnitude of the gift and the goodness of God at the root of it. You see, somewhere along the way, I'm sure that the leper had a mama in his life who would have probably popped him upside of his head if he didn't say please and thank you. I've just thought about that. Have you ever seen somebody not come up and do what they're supposed to? And have you ever seen that mama say, I'm going to get you? And have you ever seen a young'un duck? Because they know it's coming, because they know what they've said, or they've just sassed. That was the thing that would get my grandma more than anything in the world, and my mama. That sassy mouth. That was the thing that would get her. She never popped you for anything. And she didn't pop you upside the head, she would pop your behind. But she would get you, because if you said something real smart, alecky, you know, some of us have those little retorts that we might come back with. We think we're cute, but now grandma and mama don't play, do they? No. Pop that behind and say, wait, don't watch that sassy mouth. Somewhere along the way, it says you need to be thankful. You need to watch what you say. You need to behave yourself. I think this fella had that kind of mom and grandma in his life, like Timothy did the other week, that was so faithful, that he had that image, he had that heritage, he had that tradition. He had a little bit of home training, and he was grateful for his life. Perhaps Luke is hoping, too, that you and I will notice another detail that helps explain his unique action. The grateful leper is a Samaritan. Not only is he someone who is sick physically, he is someone who has already been thrown into margins. He is someone from a very little village, a very little town. He is someone who others look down upon because he's supposed to be unclean. Not just because he had leprosy, but because of where he come from. Because of who his family was, because of the color of his skin, because of the place where he lived, he was already looked down upon. You see, Jesus is walking along the border in Samaria. And it's no surprise that one of the lepers he encounters, of course, is a Samaritan. But is it a surprise that he is the only one who turns healing into an opportunity for worship? Jesus says incredulously to all of them that day, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Jesus calls him a foreigner in his word. In Luke's gospel, he calls him a foreigner. He is a foreigner in this land. And he's the only one that took the time to come back, reminding his hearers that those who are at ease in Zion might miss what God is doing in their midst because they simply aren't paying attention. You know, some of us, we think, you know, we kind of have a privilege because of who we are. We live here, we were born here, we were raised here. This is our church, this is our community, this is our country. No one else should be a part of it. We kind of have that thing. I see it, I hear it. It's not always real prominent, but it's there. Sometimes it's very ugly. Sometimes it comes out when we say, "This is mine and there's nobody else going to come." You know, we are like the folks of Zion. We are at ease. We see so much happening that God is in our midst because we simply aren't just paying attention to what's going on around us. We simply aren't paying attention. You see, the one, though, is well aware of his otherness, and that's the Samaritan. He knows who he is. He has no sense of entitlement, and as a result, he is capable of seeing the sheer gratuity of this miracle. It's pure gratitude. He knows this miracle is happening to him. He is able to recognize the gift as a gift simply because he doesn't think he has it coming to him. Sometimes we think we deserve it because we're just who we are. It is the resulting mix of humility and thankfulness that Jesus so appreciates. When we can bow down, when we can fall prostrate before him. You know, some of us might can't get down there anymore because we couldn't get back up. But the thing about it is, do we humble ourselves? Do we humble ourselves before God? Do we say, "Here I am. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done." You see, at first glance, this story seems straightforward. We might be tempted to boil its meaning down just a little bit. God loves an attitude of gratitude. We hear that all the time, some little cute saying. Or we might decide to extract from it our action item for our to-do list. Be grateful. Don't forget to be grateful. But if we really think about the Samaritan leper's example, you and I realize that any of those responses would fall very short of the real depth today of this encounter that he has with Jesus. The message of this story is not the kind that one finds in self-improvement books. It does not simply encourage us to develop a more pious manner towards God by saying thanks more often. No, it is the story that we can see something far deeper. We can see the roots of Christian gratitude within a profound awareness of God's grace. If we really understand who we are, if we really understand what God has done for us, if we comprehend the very core of our being, that every breath and even existence itself is a gift, just the existence of being here is a gift of God, then how can we do anything but join the Samaritan leper at the feet of Jesus? We should be overcome with gratitude. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, he says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I came so that we all could have salvation." You see, Jesus seeks to bring abundant life, blessings to all. But the thing that is the greatest thing in this story today other than being so grateful is what Jesus tells him in the very end. Jesus offers us salvation. He offered the Samaritan leper salvation. And he said to him that day, what did he say? He says, your faith has set you free. Your faith has healed you. Your faith is what's brought you here today. As we sing something this morning, as we leave this place, we're going to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Let us pray.